Greetings and welcome to this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit, where you will discover what it takes to start, build, and fund your nonprofit. I am your host, Sandra Chaney. And today, as always, I always love my guests. My guests are always amazing. They come with their own either nonprofit stories or share their expertise. And today, my guest is no different. My guest today is Eddie Brown, and we're going to be talking about how to leverage partnerships in your nonprofit. Because remember, you are a business first, but there are all kinds of ways to bring in money. But before we get to the questions, I want to just share a little bit about my guest today. So Eddie, along with his wife, started the nonprofit Giving Words to help struggling single mothers address the ongoing trials of family management. With 23 years in all aspects of the housing industry and 9 years of owning his own business, he uniquely developed his skills to design, organize, and market their ministry. They've created a network of over 60 partners, y'all, 60 partners in the Central Virginia area to assist moms in various areas of need, such as car repair and gifting, home maintenance, counseling, budgeting, appliance repair. Additionally, they have the assistance of Apricot Software, designed intelligent system that can track all mothers' services, activities, and volunteers. The program lays the foundation for their nonprofit's ability to be replicated in every county, state, or even in another country. Wow. Thank you so much, Eddie, for being on the show today. I love all of this.
Yes, so glad to be here.
So I first want people to hear your story. So can you just share a little bit about your own nonprofit story and how you actually came about creating Giving Words to help struggling single mothers?
Yes, ma'am. It really started off when I was really young. We can always look back. I kind of look at it as looking at the back of the cross stitch. When I was really young, I had a really close friend in high school, and I would go over there and spend time at our house, and her mother took care of foster children. And so as I saw those kids, I planted the seed. And the seed that it planted, manifested later on in life, and the questions why. Then throughout life, I began to, get older and more mature, and I kind of looked at my own mother. So she was raised by a single mom with four kids. So I could see the effect that it had on her, when she began raising me at 20, 21, 22, and how that played out. Then I also became a single parent. So I went through that experience as a single parent as well. And just having lack in different areas and kind of having to work through that struggle. So that's some of the preliminary story to Giving Words. Then I went on a missions trip to Honduras. This is really what sparked my past and my history and my experience. I was in Honduras and we were at the bottom of the mountain. I was looking out the window and I saw this child going through the dumpster. And that question, why, came back to my mind again is, why is he going through this dumpster? And so I began to research and I found out in Honduras that a child, when he's taught English, he moves from poverty to middle class. And my wife's an English teacher. We would actually be giving him words of English. So that's where the word or the name for the nonprofit Giving Words came from. Then we had a stall in our lives through struggle here in the United States. So we weren't able to go back to Honduras. I was taking care of my grandmother for a while, and then I got custody of my granddaughter. Another component of the story as well that blends, while I was a single parent, I met another single parent, and that's my wife. And she had been a single parent for 10 years. So all those things together kind of culminated into Giving Words. And so her and I both discussed You know, being single parents, being here in the States, not being able to go back to Honduras, what could we do right here and right now? And that was giving words, and that was giving words of hope and hands of help to single moms, and working through the three E's to encourage, educate, and elevate. And so that's kind of like very, very beginning when I was 17 years old with Mecca Foster Kids, going on a missions trip. And so that's quite a few years to birth the vision of giving words.
But I love it though, because, you know, I just listening to you, because, you know, I've heard your story, obviously, because we had a conversation. So, you know, you actually summed it up beautifully, you know, on this podcast. But I love that, you know, I always believe, honestly, that our purpose comes out of, you know, how life happens for us, basically. And you just took what, you know, what life dealt you, and you turned it into something to be purposeful for somebody else. And I just think that's amazing. But why the title, the word, or why the name Giving Words? What is that?
Yeah, so, well, for me, like when we look at that child in Honduras, we're actually going to be giving words of English. And then here in the States, we're giving words of hope. And when you're a single parent, and when I was a single parent, I felt ashamed. I felt lonely. I felt that I'd failed myself. I felt that I had failed my kids. I felt that I'd failed my ex-wife even. I was very reluctant to ask for help. And to give you some of that experience, you know, I slept on couches for a while at friends' houses. I lost my home. I lost my car. You know, I borrowed a car from my parents, which was a Mazda Miata. I've got two kids. So on the weekends, I had to borrow a different car to be able to transport my kids. And so it's a very humbling experience to not be able to even provide transportation for your children. So I really needed hope to get through that. And fortunately, you know, my mom was raised by a single parent, but both of my parents are still married today. I'm very grateful for that because I didn't grow up in a single parent home. Now, the other flip side of my story is both of my children went through divorce and they didn't really get a choice in that. But they had to go through the process of being a single parent. So I've seen it from both sides. And giving words of hope for me was crucial in me making it. In me making it for myself, which in turn means making it for my kids. And so the giving words, you know, a lot of people, you know, hear giving words and are like, you know, what is that? Like, because it doesn't have single mother in it. And so they're wondering about the nonprofit and what it is, but it's just such a foundational piece of giving words that we just stayed with the name to allow people to get to know us, because, you know, we're talking about partnerships today. Once our partners or even you knew the story, then giving words became so much more. So it's just near and dear to my heart from my own experience. I kind of see it as a gift. And I think all of us, when we go through struggle, when we can take that struggle and make it lighter on someone else, they don't necessarily have to trudge through the mud as you did. And when we can light that pathway, you know, instead of somebody else having to sleep on couches or live in a camper, you know, like I'm, you know, a 20-pound propane tank in the middle of winter with electric heat and blankets last about 2.5 days. If I can alleviate through my story someone else having to go through that experience themselves, there's so much power in that.
And that's why I wanted you to elaborate, because there's always a meaning behind why people, you know, name their nonprofits or their businesses, you know, what they name their businesses. And you have a story that goes with it. And when you tell the story, it brings it to life. And that's the thing that I wanted to get at, you know, with all my listeners, is that your story behind the name, behind why you're doing what you're doing, brings everything to life. And when I heard Eddie's story, it just clicked for me. The giving words, it clicked and I got it and I understood. So thank you for really sharing that. But I want to get to the 60 partners. You have 60 partners. Now, how long has your nonprofit been established? Because you haven't been around that long.
Yeah, so we're going on to our fourth year. We've been around for 3 years.
Exactly.
And our partnerships. Yeah.
Yes. You know. So let's just talk about that. So how have you been able to create this network of 60 partners?
So really, it's just been such a huge blessing. And when you look at it, you know, being a nonprofit, this grassroots, it kind of came out of, you know, a passion and a struggle to meet a need. We didn't exist. And so it's difficult for a nonprofit to get funding and to move through those beginning phases and build partnerships. And with Giving Words, you know, we didn't have a lot of money to start with. And the partnerships developed from that lack of funding. And so, you know, one of our first partnerships was a career and technical education at Louisa County High School. And then we had another repair partner, Trinity Repair and Restoration, that helped us out as well. And with those partnerships, we were able to reach so many other people. And then with those partnerships, ideas get added on top of the idea that you initially had. And so the partnership with the Career Technical Education Program, what had happened is, you know, I've got teenage daughters that are 27 and 30. And so their friends, some of their friends were single moms. And I went through a period of time, about 10 years, where I repair our own cars, that gave me the knowledge to repair these single moms that are friends of my daughter's cars here at the house. Then my son went through career and technical education, and that's where the idea came from. How can I utilize a career and technical education? And basically what the process is I'm building empathy and character in youth while serving single moms. And so I just approached the director, just kind of, you know, there was a relationship, you know, obviously my son was going through the program. And so it all hinges on relationships.
I was going to say that's number one, relationships. Yep. You got it.
Yep. Number one is relationship, and having that aligned and building that relationship. And so while Samuel was in high school, I would take our personal cars over there, let them change oil and give them something to do, you know, and the career and technical education, it needs cars running through there. And so I built that relationship. Then I reached out after the relationship was built and said, you know, hey, this is what we're thinking. What does this look like? And then the idea they added on top of it that made it even better is we can utilize other aspects of the career and technical education. So, you know, we've actually taken a mom there, had her hair and nails done, and then gave her a car because the cosmetology class got to do her hair and nails, and then we gifted her a car. So you bring in more students, more avenues, that build character and empathy in the process as well. And so I'm always looking, you know, when you're dealing in the nonprofit world, I'm always looking for double to triple impacts with one action. So, you know, my goal is to give this mom a car. How can I have impact along the way? And so, like, we've got a partnership with AutoZone. So obviously I've got relationships at AutoZone. I get discount parts, which help us serve more mothers. And so the employees at AutoZone know what we do and how we do it and why we do it. So they're part of the process of gifting that car. And then you've got the, you know, career and technical education students, the director, involved. And usually when we give a car away out of six students, we probably have two or three that are in tears as they're watching this process because we actually bring the mom into school. But really it's those relationships. And then some of our partnerships developed just organically, just to give an example.
Well, hold that thought before you. Before you go into that, I want to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk about the organic piece of it, because I love that you talked about relationship, because I think that's the biggest thing, right? Is building your relationships first. If you are a nonprofit, the community has to know who you are and what you're doing. So I definitely appreciate that. So after this commercial break, we will come back and we're going to talk with Eddie about the organic side or piece of building relationships. We'll be right back after this commercial.
Greetings. This is Dr. Essie McCoy, your podcast host of Dr. Essie Speaks Education. I am elated to bring you a weekly show where I discuss everything about education. That's right. What you want to know, what you don't know, and what you need to know will be aired each Sunday at 5:30 p.m. Get ready, mark your calendars, and tune in to this show as we keep the pulse on education from an award-winning educator. Remember, once again, to tune in every Sunday at 5:30 p.m.
Are you looking to start a nonprofit and don't know where to begin? Or are you a nonprofit owner who's looking for funding? Greetings, I am Sandra Cheney, and I have over 20 years of experience helping nonprofits either find funding or helping you to create your nonprofit. Schedule a free 25-minute consultation with me, Sandra Cheney, a nonprofit consultant and funding strategist. You may contact me at www.sandracheney.com. Click on coaching and you'll see nonprofit strategists. I look forward to seeing you soon. So welcome back to the Profit and Nonprofit. I am your host, Sandra Cheney, and my guest today is Eddie Brown. And we're talking about how to leverage partnerships and what that looks like. And if you are just tuning in, he and his wife started a nonprofit called Giving Words to help struggling single mothers. But the biggest piece we're talking about is that they've created a network of over 60 partners in 3 years. And so, Eddie, you, before the commercial break, you were talking about how some of your partnerships were organic. So can you talk a little bit more about that? What does that mean and how did that happen?
Sure. You know, when you're operating in the nonprofit world, you have needs that come up. And every one of our mothers has a different need with whatever situation they're in. And so that every single mother we have in the program has helped us better develop Giving Words and grow it as far as partnerships as well. And so if you look at you know, if you just take the numbers and plug the numbers in of a single mom's budget, some of the disparities come up, you know, automatically in car repair, housing, clothing pops up. And so, like I said, early on, we didn't have a lot of funding. And so one of the things that happened is we needed clothing. So what I did is I reached out to a consignment shop, which is called Hey Gorgeous. And it's a women's consignment shop, and we created a partnership with them. And basically, the ladies in our community put donate clothes to the Giving Words account. When those clothes sell, they fund the account, and then our moms are then able to shop there with vouchers. And this shop is a really unique boutique type shop, so there's a lot of pride that comes along with being able to go in there and shop. And so I could have went out and bought $100 Target gift cards or Walmart gift cards or JCPenney or whatever. But instead, we created this, and then that allows us to create that partnership that this business is able to invest in, and the community is able to invest in, and then it provides a need as well. And for me, it's being very creative with the partnerships, mm-hmm. and then also respecting that partnership and allowing them to choose where they're at. So, you know, we've got multiple repair partners, and some of them give us 25% discount. Some of them do work completely for free. That's labor and parts, which goes a long way. Now, I've got a windshield company. And if you think about the issues a single mother faces. So if you just go to the windshield, and you just wouldn't normally think about this, but so a single mom is going to have liability only. Rock kicks up from a transfer truck, cracks her windshield in the driver's view. Now she's going to fail inspection. She's got liability only. Now she's got $350 to $450 expense to replace that windshield to get past the rejection sticker. And if she can't, she gets a rejection sticker, and now she's going to end up with tickets and everything else. So it's a one rock that's not her fault creates a cascade of events that can derail her. And we have a repair partner that donates those windshields, labor, and the windshield itself for free.
Wow.
And we've gotten, and I've had to pay, and really, like, to give you an idea how this partnership works, I've got 6 windshields for free, one windshield. I paid for the windshield itself, and they did the labor free because they were in a downturn in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, when I talk about partnerships, you know, I may have a new repair partner, and they may only can do 25% discount because they've only been in business for 3 years, or it's a bad month, or whatever it is. So our partners choose what level that they can be at. And it may, you know, they may have been in business 30 years, and they may have been in business 3, like I said. So we just kind of, you know, build that relationship, develop the partnership, and then allow them to kind of choose where they're comfortable at.
I think this is amazing, because I know you said it earlier about nonprofits and money, and, you know, sometimes having the challenge of finding funding. But to me, this is funding itself, because, you know, yes. This is in kind. So I want, you know, listening audience to understand that in kind is just as good as having the dollars in your hand.
Yes.
Because you just said there are different levels to, you know, to the partnership, which I think is also simply amazing that you were able to do that. You have 60. I mean, I know we talked about cars, but I also know that you have partnerships with appliance stores and, you know, to repair those, or to help single moms, you know, get appliances. And, you know, you have storage units where you have relationships with, you know, people who own storage units. I mean, you really have built your network. My question to you, I want to know is, I want to talk about the benefits of that, but then I also want to go to that second question of what systems and processes do you have in place, because you have 60. And I know the audience is going to be like, well, how did you get 60 partners, and how are you keeping them all straight? So answer the first question. Yeah. What are the benefits of the partnership for you? What benefits have you seen?
Well, the benefits of the partnership is, like, it's really the building block of Giving Words, because all of our services that we offer our moms are through partnerships. And so, you know, Eddie Brown, when we started, you know, I was the one going out and repairing these cars. And so I'll give you a specific night, and I can send you the picture one day. But the thing is when we're operating in our solid why, the efforts that go into it bring joy.
Oh my God. Hold that one thought right there, because I'm always talking about the why. You said it. When you operate in your solid why, I had to repeat that. Because there's a why behind everything that you do, especially in the nonprofit world. I love that you said that. And then you said it brings you joy.
Yes.
I love it.
And so I was at a mom's house, alternated when I was in a car. And this is, you know, this is prior to having a lot of partners. I would, you know, the beauty of having the partners is the respect that I have for them as well. So I know how long it takes to put an alternator on. So when a partner donates an installation of an alternator. I don't know how many hours it took. You know, I went to this mom's house. I took a picture. It was 28 degrees outside, and I'm outside doing an alternator at like 9 o'clock at night by flashlight. But there was joy in that process because I used 10 years of mechanic experience. It was a struggle to do that, opposed to having it towed to a repair shop and then having it fixed. And I'm missing a couple of days of work. You know, early on, I would borrow a car trailer from a friend and go around and pick cars up. I have tow repair partners now that tow for us where I make a phone call. And to give you an idea, for me to move a car, so what happened at the Career and Technical Education Program, once they're done with the car with the 52-point check and we fixed everything, it's going to leave there, go to a repair partner to get an inspection sticker, and then go back. Well, that was a four-hour process for me loading, strapping down, taking it, dropping it off, getting it inspected, and taking it back. Well, I've got a tow partner now that does it for me for free. And so I've gained back 8 hours that I can invest somewhere else. And so the partnerships for us is just a massive building block on what we're built on. And then like last year, I ran the numbers. We're operating dollar for dollar 39.4%. less retail that it would typically cost us. So if you look at, let's say, instead of helping 100 moms, I can help 139 moms. And then one of the things that happened is I was keeping track of this stuff on like 5 or 6 different spreadsheets. And for instance, our partners were in my cell phone with a star in front of them, so put them all in the same spot so I could glance down through and pick who I needed to pick. Well, if you look at replication, and you even look at Giving Words as a nonprofit, and I'm the coordinator. If all the stuff's in my phone, nobody else can coordinate because it's on my phone.
Right.
So we input some software. It's called Apricot Software, another nonprofit that me and Jenny visited. And this is another tangent because we're looking at cars, but we're also looking at housing. So we actually flew out to Texas. Went to Community First and visited a tiny house community. And I saw their software, and that's what they're using. And, you know, they're a pretty big nonprofit, much bigger than us. And so when I got back home, I called the software company and was like, hey, how can I get my toes in the edge of the sandbox to start graduating through this process? And so we put that software in that took care of 5 spreadsheets. I was really having a hard time. Like, if you think about, just think about the logistics of a mom, her car's broke down, who tows it, what shop did they tow it to, is it in repair yet, has it been repaired, can she go pick it up? You know, like I think the week before last, we had almost 9 repairs in the shop in 1 week, and I had 3 at the CTE program being prepped to give away. You've got to be able to track all that stuff and spreadsheets and color coding and everything I could do couldn't keep up. And so the software has been very crucial for us. And we, you know, I've revised the software probably 5 times in the last 8 months. And I'm getting ready to have to do it again because we keep growing past it. But I've got the platform to build off of.
I just want to say that, you know, systems and processes are important to a nonprofit. You must have systems in place in order to be able to track everything, because when it comes to funding and looking, you know, for grants and things like that, funders want to know, you know, how are you keeping track of what you are bringing in and what, you know, what's going on? How are you keeping track of your programs? And so I wanted to interject that, because you're now going into talking about systems and processes. And I just want to say it's important. If you don't have it right now, like he just said, an Excel spreadsheet is your best friend until you can get to this level. But there is going to come a point where you're going to have to graduate, you know, because you, like you said, you're growing. I mean, you guys, I don't know how many moms you've had in the last 3 years, but you're probably growing each year in terms of how many moms you are servicing. So I just wanted to say that as you're, you know, getting ready to go into an example of how this works.
Right. And it's been you know, we, and just kind of going back on what you were talking about as well, with, you know, without systems and processes, those are crucial as you grow. And, you know, like we started out with one spreadsheet and it went to two spreadsheets, three and four, and continue to grow. And then to get to that next level, we had to go to the software. And the example I was going to give you that's worked well for us is with this software, you know, obviously, we are volunteer based right now. We haven't got to that growth point of having staff yet. And so we have to extract as much as we can. And so basically a mom pretty much knows all of her information. And so typically, you would have somebody in the office, a mom call in and start delineating all that information as they entered it in a spreadsheet or system, like address, phone number, all the demographics. Then you move to the children and the demographics there, and then what the need is and all that stuff. So we actually have a link where you send our moms, and she actually fills out that intake online, hits a submit button, and it automatically uploads it in our system. And so what that does is it reduces hours on staff, because it, you know, it's coming from her directly into the system. And then if you take partners, I can send a partner a link. They can put in their information. They can select basically where they're at, like car repair, towing, you know, clothing, whatever that may be, and it automatically uploads into the system. Typically, and it's another growth point for us right now, what I've been doing is I've been manually adding those. And so anyone within Giving Words can go create a ticket. And I've automated a lot of stuff too. You can create a ticket, and anybody other than me can select the mother. And let's just say, for instance, it's a car. So you select the mother and it automatically populates what year, what VIN, and what she says is wrong with the car. Then I click the partner that I want to go based on her demographic. It loads all the partner information. When I hit the submit button, it auto-generates a PO, sends the partner the information, year, make, and model, and what needs to be done. And before you hit that submit button, I or someone else can go, hey, she said there's a noise in the front that's making a screeching sound. It's probably a wear tab on the brakes, probably need to look at the brakes. So I can give the partner some instructions. And so all that stuff's automated right out of the software system, where before I had to manually do all that.
I think it's amazing that you are able to do all of this. You're able to leverage your partnerships. You're able, again, to keep this all together, because it is a lot. 60 partners is nothing to sneeze at. That's a lot of partners. But yes, you're able to do that, and basically your nonprofit is, like you said, for every service that you're offering your moms is coming through partnerships. And that's the biggest thing I want the listeners to take away, is you got to leverage your partnerships. You have to start by building relationships. That is the only way. And it sounds like that when you got one partner and then two partners, you just kept leveraging partners. Yes. To bring in more partners.
Well, what happened that's really neat is like a lot of our partners are partners of partners. So, you know, Tires Unlimited and Louisa is one of our repair partners. Well, the people that provide the windshields for them, Virginia Glass, do work for them, began to hear more about Giving Words, and then wanted to partner with us directly. So we have partners of partners, and for instance, over in Charlottesville, I've got three repair shops, and they are partners of partners. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once you build that relationship, you have that first partner. That partner in itself has a network of people that they work with that provide them services. You know, it's like, AutoZone, my partnership with AutoZone came out of Tires Unlimited, because that's where they get their parts from. And so AutoZone, Tires Unlimited, career and technical education, all right here in this community. And so looking at Giving Words as replicating it, once the software is set up with the base model, once we've finished the blueprint, it's really based on partnerships. And so I've ran some tests down in Richmond, Virginia with volunteers. I've operated in 4 different counties here in Virginia, utilizing the partnership method. And, you know, we still have a long ways to go, but we've come a long ways as well.
Yes.
And it's been very, it's just been a huge blessing. I mean, it's, you know, it just goes right back to that why.
Yes, it does. And I cannot wait for you to actually begin replicating it, because there are so many nonprofits that can really use what you have in terms of partnerships and things like that. So I am so excited. You know, I already told you, I wanted to talk offline with you about how, you know, we can work together, you know, to do that and to help, you know, so many more nonprofits. So I want to thank you so much for sharing your story, sharing how to leverage partnerships. And I am so excited. How, if people really want to connect with you about, you know, how to do this, where can they reach you?
Yeah. So they can email me at eddieb@givingwordsva.org. They also can go to the website, which is, givingwordsva.org. And there's like an email link there and the phone number's there as well.
Okay. Well, I thank you so, so very much. I'm excited because I definitely know some nonprofits that can use what you have. So I definitely look forward to linking up with you offline. So I want to thank you, my listening audience, for tuning in on this episode of The Profit in the Nonprofit. To receive a 25-minute consultation from me, visit my website at sandrachaney.com. And remember this, an inspired and successful nonprofit leader is a leader who remembers their why and works from the inside out, because it truly is an inside job. Thank you so much for listening.